Hello and welcome to In Man and Dan's Monday Blues podcast. This week we're talking about the harmonica and how important it is in blues music. It's now quite synonymous with blues.
Yeah, it was first developed though in Vienna in the early 19th century, where richer people used them as trinkets and even jewellery. But by the mid-1800s, mass production had begun in Germany, and mostly by clockmakers, including Matthias Horner, who obviously went on to create the Horner Company, which is the biggest harmonica company. He was also the one who started the mass exportation of harmonicas to America.
But it was the poor black community, mainly in the southern states, who revolutionised, well, modern music, I suppose. Because they used the harmonica in a completely new way that had never been done before. They focused on drawing, which basically means breathing in from the harmonica, to bend the note to sort of achieve that bluesy sound.
Yeah, and they made it more expressive. And also they could use the harp to mimic things like train sounds and animal noises, which we'll come on to later.
But who's our first artist we're looking at?
So we thought we'd start with James Cotton, because in our interview with Son of Dave, which was in last week's podcast, he mentioned that James Cotton was one of his biggest influences. Cotton was born in 1935 in Mississippi, and he actually started as a drummer but soon moved on to the harp. As a kid, he was a bit of a virtuoso, and at age 9 he met an artist we'll play later, Sonny Boy Williamson II, and by then could already play most of his repertoire. And from then on, he sort of became Sonny Boy's protégé. He was too young to actually open for him on stage, but he'd play on the steps outside the theatres. And according to his website, I don't know how true this is, he would sometimes earn more than Sonny Boy Williamson, who was the headliner.
Definitely a bit of a poetic license, I think.
Yeah, but he did end up leaving Sonny Boy, or Sonny Boy actually left him, and James Cotton went off to play with Howlin' Wolf. And by the age of only 15, he'd already recorded some of his own songs at Sun Records in Memphis. But then he jumped ship from Howlin' Wolf's band to Muddy Waters' band, and played alongside, or alternated with, Little Walter, who's another artist we'll play later as well. But this song we're going to play is one that Son of Dave mentioned, and it's called The Creeper. That was James Cotton with The Creeper. Who have we got next, Dan?
So Little Walter, known as the Jimi Hendrix of the harmonica because of how important he was to its development as an instrument. He was very frustrated at being drowned out by electric guitars in recordings and in jam sessions. So he cupped a microphone in his hand along with his harmonica, which now sort of seems fairly obvious to us, but at the time was a sort of massive step. It revolutionised harmonica playing and made him very famous and very well known at the time. But what makes Little Walter's sound so unique is his use of distortion.
Even before the guitarists were doing it, he was one of the first to use distortion.
Yeah, he purposefully pushed his amplifiers beyond their limits. He appeared as a sideman to a few artists on Chess Records in the 50s, mainly Muddy Waters and Jimmy Rogers. He also released a lot of recordings as a solo artist. His first debut single, Duke, went on to be a huge hit, and it's still the only harmonica instrumental to ever reach number one on the Billboard R&B chart. He also had 14 top 10 hits, which is fairly unusual for a blues artist. He recorded many great songs such as Off the Wall, Sad Hours, Roller Coaster, and the song we'll play now, which is his second number one and is probably his most well known, My Babe.
Stand no cheating, my baby. Oh no, she don't stand no cheating, my baby. Oh no, she don't stand no cheating. Everything she do so pleasing, my baby. Truly.
That was Little Walter with My Babe.
Wasn't Little Walter meant to be quite an eccentric guy?
I wouldn't say eccentric, I'd probably say quite volatile. He suffered from alcoholism and had a legendary short temper. In the 50s, he had many violent altercations and brushes with police, and his sort of behaviour became increasingly irresponsible.
Yeah, another quite volatile blues harp player was Sonny Boy Williamson II, who we've already mentioned. He was born in Mississippi. He said he was born in 1899, but the census says he was born in 1912. He may have lied about his age because he'd stolen the name off who is now known as Sonny Boy Williamson I. Basically, Sonny Boy Williamson I was a successful blues artist in his own right, and so Sonny Boy II capitalised on that success and took his name. It did work. He did find success. He was quite famous. And in the 1960s, he toured Europe with other big blues names. But apparently, he had to leave his last tour of Europe abruptly because he allegedly stabbed a man in a street fight.
I think there's quite a lot of stories about his antics during the tours of Europe. I think there's one I heard of, I think it was an interview with Robert Plant. He says that he walked in to go and meet him, and as he walked into his hotel room, he was stood in the bath with no trousers on, trying to pluck a live chicken.
Yeah, I heard another one, I think it was from Mick Jagger, and he said that Sonny Boy was in his hotel room trying to cook a rabbit in like a coffee machine. So I'm not sure he was all quite there. But this song we're going to play is from his European tour, and it's called Getting Out of Town. So that was Sonny Boy Williamson II with Getting Out of Town. And if you look at the video below, we'll put a video of that song and also Bye Bye Birdie, which is from the same recording. He's quite a showman on stage. The videos include him clicking with his mouth, and he'd also sometimes play the harp no-handed and also blow through his nose as well. It's quite an expressive performance.
That's quite similar to our next artist, Sonny Terry. He was born in North Carolina in 1911. But his style is much more traditional, more folk blues-based harmonica playing. Sonny Terry was long associated with Brownie McGee, playing in a Piedmont style of blues, which basically means Brownie McGee's finger-style guitar sort of punctuates the music. But Sonny Terry was blind by the age of 16 after injury sustained to his eyes, and as a result, his father taught him how to play harmonica as a means by which to earn a living. He travelled around and developed his energetic style, which included vocal whoops and hollers, and occasional imitations of trains and fox humps. He played with Blind Boy Fuller until he died in 1941, and then he formed his long-standing musical relationship with Brownie McGee, releasing many albums and eventually becoming quite well-known and popular with white audiences during the folk music revival of the late 50s and early 1960s.
Yeah, we mentioned him in the episode about blind musicians, and he also featured in the From Spirituals to Swing concert, which we talked about in the last series as well.
Yes, so he had a very long career. That was 38, I think, and he went after that. He recorded two of his most famous songs, Lost John and Old Jabbo, which sort of demonstrate his amazing breath control that makes his harmonica playing style so unique and different from now more popular and sort of up-tempo, rockier blues harmonica styles. To sort of demonstrate this, we've chosen to play this track. It's off a great Primo 2 CD compilation, which is actually one of the first blues CDs that I ever bought and really got me into listening to blues. This is Better Day. Thanks for listening.
Bye.